today, and we want you to know that you're always welcome here at New Hope Fellowship, and it's also good to have our wandering friends back with us, back where they belong. Praise be the Lord. And I want to go in a little bit of a, did you ever plan on doing something and then the Lord says, no, turn, I've got something else for you to do. And I remember going into this church in Mount Vernon, Kentucky. And it was a free Pentecostal church. And just about every time we went in there and visited this particular church, I had Teen Challenge students, a bunch of Teen Challenge students, and we'd take them to various churches. But every time we went in there, the pastor would always say, brother, you got something to preach? And I've always made a commitment that if ever asked to preach, I will preach. If there's not a extenuating conflict that I've or something I've already committed myself to do, I've always made that commitment that I will preach. The Lord has obviously provided that opportunity, and I want to be faithful to it. And so, and also, one of the things I bring before the Lord is this: is I don't want to just share enticing words of man's wisdom. But I want to speak with the power of God and the anointing of God. And that is my desire today, to bring you God's word. One of the things that I do on a daily basis, if you're not joining me, I'd invite you to do so, is I do a daily broadcast. It's just a short devotional every single day. Been doing it for several years. And it's called a Message from Pastor Mark. You can pick it up on our church site, or you can pick it up on a personal website I have, or a personal Facebook page I have, and I believe it'll be words of encouragement. It's hot off the skillet, so to speak, because it's from the word that I've read. I do not preach on current affairs or what's going on in the world around me. I share specifically from what the Lord has ministered to me through my own reading that morning from His Word. I do want to give you just a glimpse of what I read today. And this was from this was the broadcast of the day and the scriptures that I shared, and it was from Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10 and 18, 12, it says, first of all, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. And then 18, 12, which says, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. And as I read this from Jeremiah, what the Lord spoke to me was this, is that God says he knows what's going on, and he knows where our hearts are at, and he's got a plan for our lives. And throughout Scripture, he brings out the fact that, you know what, I am a God of great blessing. I am a God that knows what you're going through. I'm a God that can solve your problems. I'm a God that can intervene in your lives. If you will just submit and commit your lives unto me, not only will you be preparing for eternity, but you will be under my hand of blessing today. And yet, when I continued reading, and I read in 18, and they say this, theologians say that Jeremiah the prophet preached his whole life without one convert. In fact, he's called the weeping prophet because he brought forth God's truths, but the people did not respond. And it says there this, and I want you to hear this. It says, they said there is no hope. We live in a world today that people are, you know, they're hearing from the pulpit, hey, you need to put God first in your life. You need to surrender to God's will and to God's plan. You need to recognize that as you obey God, He will meet your every need. You need to know that God is a God of healing. He knows your sickness. He knows your pain. And he can heal that. And these are just a couple of examples. But this is what the world is saying. They're hearing that, but they're saying, no, there's no hope in that. There's no hope in that. I need to do it my way. I need to submit to my way of doing it. And it says they submitted to their own devices and walked according to the imagination of their own evil hearts. I've seen this done, and you have as well. Yeah, I know I should pray, but. Yeah, I know I need to be in church and worship and not forsake the assembling together of the saints, but I'm too tired and I got things to do on Sunday. No, I know I should be reading the Word. I know that the Word says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will remain, and I've got a copy of it. And I know I should read it and make it part of my daily life, but you know what? It just doesn't seem to fit into my daily activities. There's really no hope in prayer. There's no hope in reading the Bible. There's no hope in going to church. My hope is in me and my own efforts. Now, as much as we may look down upon that statement, many of us practice that. And we may not be saying it outwardly, but we're saying it in our own behavior. We're not really putting those truths into our lives. I believe if you believe God is going to meet you in prayer, you will pray. I believe if you believe God is speaking to you through His Word, if you truly believe it, you'll read it. I believe if you really believe that God will be in the presence where two or more are meeting together, you will strive to be there. And I believe when you begin to pass that off, no, I just don't have hope in that, your behavior will be reflective of that. And God, none of these things of the behaviors of man are catching God by surprise. He's known about this. He's known about where man has been and where man has gone and where man continues to go. In fact, in the Word, it says his heart and his mind many times is desperately wicked. It's focused on his own interests. One of the things that I have learned, and I tell you, this is one of the most profound truths that I've learned in life, and I think that as you learn this truth, or maybe you have as well, that it will change your life. And this is it, simple as this. There is a God, and I'm not Him.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a God, and I'm not Him.
Amen.
And when we recognize that, we recognize that the world does not revolve around us. It wasn't created by us. And the one who designs it gets to define it.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? The one who designed it gets to define it. And when we come into compliance with that, we will find the fulfillment and the joy in our lives that we long for and desire. Amen. Amen. Bobby and Joe and I, we went to a conference. We traveled to Casper, left last Sunday after church. Drove all the way to Casper, got there, went to meetings on Monday and Tuesday, drove back Tuesday. But while we were there, there was a special speaker that came in, and he brought forth a truth that I think is important in a message that he was sharing with the pastors that were gathered there. He called it the fifth day. And so when he talked about it, there were some questions as, what's he going to talk about the fifth day? What about the fifth day? He was talking about, how many of you are familiar with Joshua facing the children of Israel called to the promised land, and there is a city in between them and the promised land. That city was called Jericho. How many of you are familiar with that story? And Joshua was given some directions, and it's interesting directions. Joshua was a military general, and he did not learn these directions at Jerusalem West Point. Okay, in fact, they don't really sound like militarily logical. Because he was told, this is the way that you're going to conquer Jericho. Jericho was surrounded by a great wall. Historians say that the wall was so thick they could ride three chariots side by side on the wall. People, we know, actually lived in the wall. They lived in the wall. And so this great wall surrounded the city. And Joshua knew that part of the plan was for him to conquer the city of Jericho. So he was given some directions, and the directions that he received was this. He says, I want you to walk around the city once for 6 days in a row. Once a day, 6 days in a row. I want everyone to be quiet, except for the priests playing the trumpets. I want everyone else to be quiet, totally silent, as you walk around the city. And then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around the city seven times. Once again, being totally quiet. And then when I give you the sound, when I give you the sound from the trumpets or the sound of the trumpet, I want everyone to shout. And if you will follow that, the walls of the city will fall down. Okay, now the people at that particular time, they recognized that God had shown himself miraculous in their lives. And yet this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And yet they were told to do this. This was a mighty city, a powerful city. Well, this pastor that Bobby and I heard, he was sharing about the fifth day. He said, what do you think was going on in their minds on day number five? And he said, you know, here we are. We've walked around it on day number one, day number two, day number three, day number four. He said, by the time you get to day number five, he says, do you think there may have been some doubting? Do you think there may have been some questioning about the reliability of the message that's been received? Do you think there may have been some murmuring about the leadership? Maybe some bickering or murmuring about having to walk all the way around the city and doing this, and it doesn't make any sense? I'm going to tell you that much of our life is spent in days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And day number 7 will never come in your life unless you go through days 1 through 6. There would never have been a day 7 if they weren't faithful in day 5. Yeah. Are you hearing me on this? Yes. Now, we hear the word. Day number 1's an exciting day. Yeah, praise God. Man, he's going to do a miracle here. You know, we're here. They're getting out of church, you know. They're doing, Brother Wayne, they're doing the Jericho march. You know, we're going to march around Jericho. They're excited. You know, they just worship God. They just heard something that really stimulated them, and they're ready to go. Amen. Day number 1, we'll call it Monday, brother. Monday, yeah, we come out of Sunday, we're excited, this is going to be great, praise be to God. But then all of a sudden, Tuesday comes. And Tuesday, all of a sudden, the boss is on my case. I've got a coworker that's starting to irritate me, you know, the car just blew a flat, you know. I've got it, and the wife just called me. There's washing machine problems. There's a leak over here. There's all of a sudden Tuesday's there, and you know, here we are so excited from Monday. There's been a shift. Then by Wednesday, you know what we're finding out is that there's more attacks, there's more problems, there's more difficulties than Thursday and Friday, and finally we just get to that point. We're beginning to say, you know what, where's all that joy? You know, you left the church with joy and excitement, and you're ready to be victorious for the kingdom and see God's kingdom advanced in your family and in your life and all around you, but you're starting to doubt. You're starting to wonder, is this really going to work? you're starting to maybe in your mind begin to think, you know what? Maybe God doesn't do these miracles anymore. Maybe I need to be trusting in some other armies. Get calling another army. I mean, trusting and putting all my faith in God, walking around this wall, this is ridiculous. They're going to be laughing at me. They're going to be ridiculing me. They're going to think I'm some kind of holy roller. You know, me maintaining this faithful walk around the wall. I think you and I both know, we all know what we're talking about here. And I was thinking about that, and as the pastor presented that, you know, one of the things that he said, you know what? On day 7, we know what happened. You know, as they walked around there, they walked around the city of Jericho 13 times. 6 days in a row, 7 times on the 7th day. On the 7th day, the priests blew the trumpets, they all shouted, and the walls fell down, and they overcame the city of Jericho. We all know that. We all know there was victory, because we're looking at it after the fact. But they were looking at it inside during that, walking, and more walking silently. Not trying to, he didn't say, I need your wisest men, I need your strongest men, I need your most military acute men. He said, nope, I just want you all to be quiet and just walk around the wall. And as I was reflecting on that, I was also reflecting on a Syrian general. I think you're familiar with him. Maybe some of you are. His name was Naaman. And he was an honored man in the country of Syria, and yet he was a leper. He had leprosy. And he heard there was a prophet in Israel that God had anointed. And he went there, and he wanted healing of his leprosy. He went there to Elisha the prophet, right? And he was told, when he showed up there, he was told, you need to go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And if you'll do that, you will receive your healing. And he was angry. He says, aren't the rivers of Assyria much more bountiful and aren't majestic than this river of Jordan? And he was walking away mad, angry. And his servant said, why don't you just give it a shot? What do you got to lose? You got leprosy. Listen to what the man of God has said. He was expecting some kind of magic wand and presto, leprosy gone. And he was told to go dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And I would say, similar to the walking around the wall 7 days in a row, 7 times on the 7th day, but there's some similarities here. And I would suggest what Naaman was thinking on the 5th dip. You know, dipping number 1, I'm a fool, this is foolish, why would I even listen to this? Dip number 2, it was just like, man, oh man, I feel like an idiot. You know, is this even valid? Is this even true? Is there any kind of substance to this? Hey, you know, dip number 3, dip number 4. And by the time he's dip number 5, I believe he's just getting upset. And he's beginning to question God. And he's looking at his servant and he says, hey, you're an idiot. Now you're making me an idiot. You know, my biggest foolish act was listening to you. But you know what happened on dip number 7? It says when he arose from the river, the leprosy was gone. Hallelujah. And he had flesh like almost like a newborn baby. Right. Totally and completely delivered. But you know what? There would never have been a day 7 or dip 7 without a dip 5. Right. Without a dip 1, without a dip 2. I don't know where you're at in your journey right now, but God has a plan for your life. Job was going through some difficulties, and if you ever read Job, my encouragement to you is read the whole book as a whole. you can pull verses out of there. They'll be out of context, and you won't understand it. But as you read the book as a whole, you begin to understand what he's talking about. Job was a righteous man. He was praised by God, and yet he was going through some consequences in life. And yet he maintained his faithfulness. He maintained his integrity. Integrity is consistency of character. And his wife said to him, his loving wife, maybe some of you have been married to her, I don't know. But she said to him, well, how can you maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Mrs. Job, curse God and die. He's received this. He said, look, our kids have been killed. We've lost our belongings. Our wealth has been diminished. All of these things are happening to us. How can you continue to hold on to a God who's allowed these things to occur? Who hasn't moved right when you expected him to move? Curse him. Don't hold on to your integrity. And Job said something to her. He said, you know what? You speak like a foolish woman. The God whom we serve is a God who is above and beyond everything that we can experience. And if he's allowed this to happen, he's allowed it to happen, and I'm not going to curse him. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to persevere. Now you read Job, and it's a book of trauma and tragedy. You read about a whole lot of consequences, but I'll tell you, when you get to chapter 40, it's pretty exciting. Talks about God blessing Job twice as much than he ever had in his life. I don't know if he gave him a new wife or not, but hopefully changed her attitude. The bottom line here is this, is that Job portrays perseverance. Faith is not just believing today. True faith is demonstrated that you maintain your belief even when you don't get what you want. Yes. Even when you don't get what you want, you're still holding on to the reality of God being in control. I'll tell you, we've lost that in the church today. There's many people that jump ship, just as Jeremiah was said. You know what? They don't have any hope. They're just going to go do their things their own way. What has God done for me? You know what? I want you to know that we didn't know exactly what was going to happen in our family. We just believed God. When we raised our kids, our six kids, we raised them to know God. We raised them to before they went to school every day, they were involved in devotions. They learned that we prayed. They learned that they go to church on Sunday. They learned that they need to read the Bible. These, in our home, it wasn't options. These weren't options. These were requirements. We were trusting and we were believing God. And you know what? We've seen, just like any other parent, we've seen some teenage rebellion. We've seen some difficulties, but we held on to the truth that God is true to his word. God is true to his word. And you know, it didn't happen overnight. You know, of course, our kids were transforming and developing and growing. Some of them made some wrong decisions and went some wrong directions, not extreme as their daddy did when he was young, but the bottom line is this: we look back now, and it's chapter 40.
Amen. Yes. All right. Amen.
But to get to chapter 40, we had to go through 1 through 39. And there were trials. There were days when it was easier just to let them do what they wanted rather than put up with the conflicts. Or there was days that it would have been, maybe been easier than taking them to church or reading them the Word of God. You know, it might have been days that were easier for her just to sleep in and not make that investment. But making that investment has paid chapter 40 dividends. I'm a wealthy man. I don't have a big bank account, but I have six children that as adults are all living for the Lord. I'm expecting my 12th grandchild. My 12th grandchild, they are all being raised in Christian homes. They are all living lives that are dedicated to the kingdom of God. But you know, for that to even occur, and I want to really share this with you, you need to maintain your hope. And that is your confidence in things yet to come. Your faith that God is going to be true to his word even when you don't see the immediate results. And this is exactly what we've encountered, isn't it? All of our kids living for the Lord. How exciting that is. Our grandkids being raised in environments. They're not following the ways of drugs. They're not alcoholics. They're not going the ways of the world. They're not going those directions. They're going the way of the Lord. It's an investment of perseverance and commitment. My wife and I, when we were married in 1982. This year will be 42 years. And 42 years ago when we were married, she was quite a bit older than me. No, she's 4 years younger than me. I can't tell you that. But anyhow, she had just turned 18. She was 17 when I met her, and we dated for about a year, and she had just turned 18 in September, and we were married the next month in October. She was 18. I was 22 at the time. And we were young Christians, but we decided that we were going to live our lives as Christians in our home. And one of the things that her and I made a commitment to do, this, again, has nothing to do with you or me challenging you to do anything. It's a testimony of what her and I did. It is, we decided that we were going to tithe right from the start. And that means that we were going to give God 10% of everything we make. That was our commitment. Not only were we going to do that, we were going to raise our kids to do that. In fact, we gave the kids an allowance, and maybe it was a dollar, which, you know, you could buy something with a dollar back then. Yeah. was a dollar. Yeah. They were required to give a dime, 10%. That we taught them right from the start. We practiced that. We didn't let things around us determine whether or not we were going to practice that. I lived in Buffalo, New York. I worked at that particular time in 1982. I ended up working at an assembly plant in Buffalo, New York. I was part of the International Association of Machinists, and there was a layoff. I was laid off. In fact, to the extent that I couldn't afford my car anymore, so I sold my car, and it was at that point that her and I made that commitment. I was drawing an unemployment check at the time. We're going to tithe off the unemployment check. We were going to believe God. In spite of the fact that we were in poverty, that we served a God of abundance. We were going to trust God with persevere with faithfulness to his promise. If I could go into details, but I'm not going to today. But I just sum it up by saying this. God always showed himself faithful. He met our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we were abundantly blessed. We were and still are abundantly blessed. We practiced a principle faithfully because we believed it to be true. I read the word every single day. I read the word every single day. In fact, it is food. It is spiritual food. And I'll tell you, I've been to college, I've been to Bible school, and I have learned much more from my personal reading of God's word every single day than I ever have in any Bible school. It has revealed to me the character of God, the truth of God, the plan of God. It's been part of my life. I persevere, and God has shown himself faithful. I pray on a regular basis. I pray daily. I pray for you. I pray for this church. You're in my prayer room. I walk around this church. And I put in several miles during my prayer walk. I walk because if I kneel, I fall asleep. But I walk and I pray, and because I get up early in the morning. Anybody know that? Okay, I get up early, and I pray, and I'll tell you, I do it daily. They're going to say, well, you're praying to God. Yes, I persevere, even when I'm not getting the immediate answer. We looked for a house here for 2 years. We prayed for a house here in the valley for 2 years. We had some parameters we thought the Lord laid on our hearts. It needs to be close enough to the church. You know, we didn't want to be out of town. We wanted to be close to the church. We believe God was going to provide. We didn't quit. Where's your hope? Why are you trusting in your prayer? Why are you trusting in God? Take something less. Do something different. No, we're going to hold on to what God said. God blessed us. We got a house over across the road in Nordic. I just walked to the church yesterday. And I'll tell you, it is what a blessing it is to know that God honors those who will persevere in their faith. That will persevere in their faith. And so it's just like maybe you heard the story about the man that swam 3/4 of the way across the Atlantic Ocean, got scared and swam back. You know, the bottom line is the shore is right ahead. The blessing is right ahead. Do not quit. Do not give up. Some of you have been involved in diets and weight loss. It's great. I mean, it'd be great to lose 50 pounds, you know, wake up tomorrow 50 pounds lighter. Yeah. But you know what? It doesn't happen that way. No. We learn the principle of perseverance. There needs to be a change in behavior. There needs to be a change in your exercise. There needs to be a change in your eating habits. And you need to persevere. You can't just do it one day and then not do it the next. You can't do it. Man, I tried that diet. I tried it for a day. It didn't work. I'm still this heavy. I'm going to quit. No, you stay with it. You persevere. And when you persevere, you get results. Yes. You'll look in the mirror and you can't even recognize yourself because you persevered. We recognize the importance of perseverance. Yes. Some of you have been involved in weightlifting or bodybuilding and exercise or certain types of exercise. You know, if you're going to run a marathon, you just don't go out and run it. You prepare for it. You prepare. And preparing for it is the exercise you do on a daily basis. Persevering. But as you persevere, you are putting yourself in a position to be successful. I want you to know that principle is a principle of God. And that's the way his word works. We don't quit because we don't get the immediate answer. I was in the hospital, first time ever, only time ever, a few years back when COVID hit. Okay, it was something I didn't take seriously, but it seriously affected me. It knocked me for a loop. I was brought into the hospital. I had low oxygen. I think my oxygen was down to 70-something. And they, huh? 78, and they told me, no, you need to be in the hospital. They basically were giving my wife, my family, almost to the point that, you know, we hope he makes it. And here I am, and I'm praying, you know, that God's going to bring his healing. I ended up being in the hospital for a week. And day number one, I wasn't healed. And day number two, I wasn't healed. But I began to read his word. I began to believe his word. I began to quote his word. I didn't watch television. I made a decision. I'm not here to entertain myself and die. I'm here to be well and go home. And I began to read the word. My wife would call me. Of course, when you're in COVID ward back then, you know, you were in people only could come to see you in a hazmat suit. They didn't let any of my family in there. I didn't have any visits or anything could be done. And even the nurses didn't want to answer your buzzer because they had to basically put on a hazmat suit. But you know what? I continued to believe even when I didn't receive. I would have gladly received on day one and walked out of there. In fact, day two would have been okay. But you know, it didn't happen until day seven. But you know what? Holding on, persevering in faith, God showed himself faithful and miraculous. This is a testimony I know many of you could reverberate. We've had it. One of our kids, when he was 3 months old, he was diagnosed with spinal meningitis. It was going around. It's very common in Kentucky. We were in Kentucky. It was going through Kentucky. It basically, the menje or whatever around your brain is attacked, and your brain almost becomes like a piece of Swiss cheese. And people die, and a lot of kids were dying. And our child, our three-month-old, was in the hospital with spinal meningitis. Been great to see healing immediately. Would have great to see health even before that. But we believed God. We had a friend that went in there. He stayed with him for 3 days. 3 days just praying and believing. The doctors came 3 days later and he said, Mr. and Mrs. Helford, we don't understand it.
Yeah.
Your son is perfectly whole. He's been totally healed. There were kids that had died. There were situations going on. God healed. I'm going to tell you what. God is looking. Listen to me. If you miss anything I've said, hold on to this. God is looking to show himself powerful in the life of someone who will show themselves faithful.
Amen.
God is looking to show himself powerful in the life of someone who will show themselves faithful. And faith, listen, faith, and I really like that definition. Faith is holding on to the truth of God even when you don't get what you want when you want it. You're holding on knowing that he sits on the throne. He's given us many examples of this throughout Scripture. And we're not going to reflect on all of those at this time. Some of you are maybe smelling the food in the back and saying, you know, when's Pastor going to finish here? But the bottom line is that God's got a miracle for you. He's got a miracle for you. God is no respecter of persons. God is going to be consistent with his word, and he will always show himself powerful in the lives of those who show themselves faithful. But the key is don't quit. Don't give up. You're right there. You're right there. The blessing is right there. Continue to go forward. Continue to remain faithful, brother. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, God, for your truth. We're thankful, Lord God, for these examples within Scripture. Father, we recognize there's never going to be a day seven where the walls are going to fall down. And there's never going to be a dip seven where we're healed of leprosy unless we're willing to go through days 1 through 6 and dips 1 through 6. Oh, God, we recognize that it's a process of perseverance and faithfulness to the truths of your promises, to the truths of your word. And, Father God, we recognize and believe that there will be a day seven. We recognize, oh, Lord God, and believe there will be healing after on dip seven. We recognize, oh Lord God, it requires us to be faithful and to hold on to your promises even when we don't see the immediate results. And and we give you praise, Lord. We ask, oh Lord God, as we close in worship today, oh Lord, that you would minister to everyone that's come into this place and let them know you've got a plan for their lives and you've got miracles that await them if they will just persevere and hold on to your truth. Father God, we'd ask, oh God, we're thankful for those who have brought food and the fellowship we're going to share. And we pray, oh Lord, that you'll minister that food to us and help us to share with one another and encourage one another in the faith. We just give you the glory. Father, we worship you now.